Our God is good. No matter what, our God is good. And, you know, He gives us what we need and not what we want. So no matter what, it is good to be here this morning. We're truly blessed to have this opportunity to come before Him. To the visitors here, we're thankful that you're here. And it is an encouragement to us that you are here. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Like Jimmy said, I'll give you a quick update on Christy. Yesterday, she had a fever, got up to 101.5, and I made her call the doctor. Doctor said, take her to the emergency room. Because every chemo set she takes, her white blood cells go really low. And then usually they come up because she takes a break. She's on her break this week. They didn't come up, so we went there. Started the blood work, gave her antibiotics, and they got to wait to do blood culture, which usually takes 24 to 48 hours. So she might be there till Tuesday. So we appreciate the prayers, and I'm very tired. I was there, I think I might have slept 2 hours last night in that little awkward chair they always have in the room there. So bear with me. And then with the PowerPoint not working, and I kind of use a PowerPoint sometimes to keep my memory on certain points of my outline. So we're just gonna go with it. It'll be okay. But it is good to be here. And you know, one of the things I had on the PowerPoint that you're not gonna see is back in March, the first Sunday of March, I did a lesson, Walking Wise and Worthy, from Ephesians chapter 5. And you can open your Bible there. Ephesians 5, we looked at verses 15 through 21. And Paul makes a very interesting application there, and we're going to use that same application for this lesson. But what we're going to do is we're going to back up to the beginning of the chapter. And anyways, I was going to have on the PowerPoint, I picked the first slide of, I think, 10 PowerPoints that we've had so far this year with our theme for Walking Worthy. Just to kind of strike our memory what we're talking about and the theme that we're looking for. And as that was playing, I was going to, you know, ask you to consider the fact that it's been said that imitation is the highest form of flattery. Right? When you imitate someone, that's flattery. And imitation, you know, we don't copy things that we don't like or we don't want, right? We do this in our culture. Really, all cultures do it and have done it. And it's seen in how we dress, how we act, how we talk. And if you don't think so, just consider Hollywood, right? They determine a lot about our culture and how we think and talk and dress and act and all of that. And so there's good kinds of imitation and there's bad kinds of imitation. And so we're talking about imitation this morning here. You know, call it peer pressure if you want. But that's just the way our minds work. We don't want to be different many times. You don't want to fit in. We want to be like others. We want what they have and do what they do. But we're talking about good imitation this morning here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And have you ever been reading your Bible and you come across a character? Of course, I got to go to Hebrews 11. And you're reading about a character, a particular individual, and you say, you know, I want to have a faith like that. Right? I want to imitate that. You want to ask them, you know, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, right? How'd you do it? Right? Even those people that we read about who maybe started off not so well or made great mistakes, but they recovered. Right? Like Rahab, like Peter. And you think, you know what? I want that in my life. I want my faith to be like that. I want to imitate that. How do I do that? Right? Which is a great question, a very important question. That we can ask, right? You know, we should want to be like them, right? By faith, Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, Moses, Rahab, right? And remember the definition of faith biblically, right? It's putting a belief system into action. In other words, trust and obedience coming together. Right? So I want to be like them in my faith. You know, Noah building the ark, Abraham offering Isaac, Rahab hiding the spies. I want to be like that in my faith, in my actions for God. I want to be like them in my service to God. Right? I want to learn. I need to learn. I want to mature. But how? That's the big question. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to see that it all comes down to how we walk worthy. How we walk worthy. And we're going to bounce back and forth. We're going to mainly be in Ephesians, but I want to bounce back and forth to Colossians. Right? Because Ephesians and Colossians are sister books. Where Ephesians emphasizes the church more, and Colossians emphasizes Christ more. And they both have the idea of how we walk in compliance. Right? How we walk in compliance in the Lord's church, Ephesians. How we walk in compliance with Christ being the head of the church, the body. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And by the way, side note, after the summer series, our next topic on Wednesdays, we're going to study the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And so Ephesians here is about how we walk in compliance. It's almost like someone asked God, hey God, how do we walk in compliance? It's like, I'm glad, yes, here's the book of Ephesians. Right? It's a how-to. Right? We tie that with our theme verse, Colossians 1:10. We're talking about walking worthy this year. This is it right here. Right? This is one of the best places that you can go to. You know, Lord, teach me how to be compliant with your will in my life. He says, okay, here you go. Now, when you read Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, it begins with, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Right? As good students of the Bible, anytime we see the word therefore, we see what it's there for. Well, he's making a summary statement of all the things that he's talked about. Of course, we don't have time to go over all of it. How does it begin the book? Chapter 1 and verse 3. All blessings are found in Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 7, my favorite verse in the Bible, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Chapter 2, he begins in verse 1 saying, you know, you used to be a different way. Right? You used to be dead in your trespasses. Matter of fact, you look at verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's the old you. But now look at verse 10. Right? God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose. You're his workmanship. That's what you're created for. Then you go into chapter 3. Wow, we could spend a whole lot of time here. I think a good way to remember this is, like in verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's talking about the church and our love for one another. We're part of something special. Then in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, right, those seven ones. In verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Read all of these ones here, right? There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We have this special unity. We're talking about walking in compliance. Remember this special bond we have, this unity. But beware, and here's a lesson we did a couple months ago, verses 17 through 19 in chapter 4. Right, this slippery slope that we talked about, right? And, you know, basically before Christ, you know, we lived in the futility of the mind. There's also a warning here to brethren that, hey, you can go back to that too if you're not careful. It begins with having your understanding dark. Remember that list there beginning in verse 18? So all of these things together, chapter 5, verse 1 begins, therefore. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Because of all of these truths, therefore, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imitate God. And so now we got 3 points in our lesson from this portion forward. He's going to give us 3 things here. And again, we're going to end with the same application as we did in the lesson in March. I know I'm stretching your memory there, but since it's Paul's application, we're going to make it our application also. So look at this number one here, and it was part of our scripture reading in verse 2. Oh, and also, I forgot to mention this, right? So you get this here in chapter 5, and here's why it's important. Let's jump ahead real quick to chapter 6. These things matter because we have an enemy, right? Verse 11, the devil, the schemes of the devil, right? And we're going to put on this whole armor of God to withstand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. Remember that phrase, darkness there. Darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's why this matters. Right? So he's given us the tools that we need to withstand the devil and his schemes. All right, now back up again to chapter 5 and verse 2 here. Notice here how we begin this imitation, imitating God as dear children. Number one is walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This is where it all begins. This is the standard, right? The bar is set. Right, our standard is Christ. This is agape love. This is sacrificial love. This is love doing what's best for somebody else, even if they don't acknowledge it, think they need it, or like it. Now, we serve Christ by imitating his love and his life and our love in our lives. Walk in love. Now, why would I do that? Well, you can go back. Skim a few things here in the book, right? I get all blessings in Christ, chapter 1 of verse 3. I get redemption, chapter 1 of verse 7. I'm saved from my trespasses, chapter 2 of verse 1. Right? I was dead in those things, back in darkness, chapter 2 and verse 2. Right? When I used to walk according to the course of the world, but I've been saved from that, chapter 2 and verse 10. I've been saved from those things. That's the old me. Now I've been changed. Now, if you notice here in chapter 5, verses 3 through 7, we're not going to read it all, but he's going through a list of what we used to be, what was part of our old lives. And he talks about uncleanness and covetousness and filthiness and foolish talking, coarse jesting, being idolatrous, you know, being deceived by empty words, verse 6. Right? That's the old us. That's the us that was in darkness. When we walked outside of love. But that's not us anymore. You know, this is seen in how we serve others. I think a great place to go always is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Just turn a page or two there in your Bible to the right. And in verse 5, he says, have this mind in you which was in Christ. We're going to imitate Christ. Well, what did Christ do that we imitate? Well, you keep reading there, all the way up to verse 8, right? He came to this earth. He left the glory of heaven. He humbled himself to be obedient even to the cross. Right? He humbled himself to lift others, us, you and I, up. That's what humility is. It's not a lack of strength. It's a great expression of love towards others. We're walking in love. Love means you're gonna have that sacrificial agape love. You're gonna give up what you need to give up in order to lift others up. Now, sometimes here we get distracted in this. Notice this real quick in Colossians chapter 2. Then we're gonna go to our second of 3 points. Sometimes we get distracted in this walk of love, right? Because the schemes of Satan, Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11, we get distracted. We start to think other things are more important than this walk in love. Well, what does that look like? Well, here's a warning. Now, if you ever, Colossians 2 and 3, mirror Ephesians 5 in so many wonderful ways. But I want you to note this here. Here's how we become distracted. We can't read it all. In verse 4, at the very end of that verse, right? You know, don't be deceived by persuasive words, right? We can be distracted. Look at verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to traditions, a man according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Now, that word cheat there in the original language, now you may even have a translation that says taken captive. It can also rightfully be translated as robbed or even kidnapped. Right? This is Satan. We can be robbed of our reward. If you actually look at verse 18, same word, let no one cheat you out of your reward, kidnap you out of your reward, rob you. That's what Satan does. This is the schemes of the devil, the wiles of the devil, right? You're supposed to be walking in love because of who you are in Christ, but he's over here and he's trying to distract us. Empty words, philosophy of men, traditions of the world, right? Be careful. Be careful. He's going to kidnap you away from walking in love. Walking in the light. He's going to cheat you out of that reward. So number one, here in Ephesians 5, is walk in love. Number two, look at verse 8. Read it with me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So number two here, walk as children of light. Now I want you to note here, if you have your Bible open, verses 9 and 10, qualify verse 8. Read it with me. So verses 9 and 10 qualify how we walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now I want you to understand how important that phrase is there, biblically speaking. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord is a theme throughout the Bible, going all the way back to Cain and Abel. Hey, Cain, you know what your brother Abel brought before me, that was acceptable to me. What you're trying to do is not acceptable in my sight. Be careful, right? The devil's standing at the door, right, with his schemes, with his wiles. Right, and that's an interesting study in itself. What's acceptable to the Lord, if you're taking notes, write down Romans 12, 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, 28. Right, several places in Scripture, it's about what's acceptable to the Lord. You want to walk in the light? Find out what's acceptable to the Lord. You don't get to determine and make your own light. Only God does that. And so that qualifies that statement, walk as children of the light. And I would also add to this here, listen, God loves you enough that he set boundaries. Right? Just like how Colossians begins, right? You were once in darkness, but he transferred you into the kingdom of the Son of his love, into the kingdom of light. Right? He's established boundaries because he loves you. He doesn't want you to go back into darkness. Right? Those who are parents, you love your children, so you set boundaries. Now, they may not like those boundaries. They may not fully understand those boundaries. But you love them enough to say, no. That's not good for you. That's not healthy. I love you. So when we're talking about walking as children of the light, understand that God determines the light. He's one that conveys us out of darkness into the light, and he set boundaries to keep us safe in the light. You got free will. You can go back in that darkness. That's what chapter 4, 17 through 19 was about. What's the very first thing on that list? Having their understanding darkened. Chapter 4, verse 18. Being alienated from the life. We add to that the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. He says, don't do those things. They're going to hurt you. Matter of fact, in a parallel way in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, right? He's talking about those things that'll hurt you. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, remember that darkness, why, as though living in the world, you subject yourself to its regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Do not begin to have your understanding darkened once again. I love you, right? These principles of the world here, he's saying, they'll cheat you out of your faith. That darkness will rob you, will take you captive, it will kidnap you. Don't do it. Now contrast that how not to walk back here in Ephesians 5, verses 11 and 12. Read it with me. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Light dispels darkness. And for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Because, verses 13 and 14, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, right? Jesus is the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, now he's going to quote Isaiah 26, verse 19 here. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Contrast that with darkness. You know, we're to walk as children of the light. You know, Jesus states in Matthew 5 and verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But darkness, right? Darkness hates the light. John 1 and verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, right? Jesus is light coming to the world. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Then in chapter 3, 19 and 20 of John, and this is a condemnation that the light is coming to the world, that's Jesus, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Let me give you something to chew on here before we go to our third and final point. And that is, do you have a secret sin nobody knows about? You have a secret sin nobody knows about. Listen, God knows about it. But Hebrews 4 and verse 13, he knows all things there, and the text says that all things are open or naked or bare to him, the one to whom we must give an account. Listen, there's a day coming when that will be exposed. So you expose it now. Let the light shine on it. Bring it out in the light. Number 3 from our text, Ephesians chapter 5. Walk circumspectly, the New King James says, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Circumspectly means to, like we used to say in the infantry, right? When I was in the Marine Corps, the Army, both infantry, it was a very common phrase, walk with your head on a swivel. Right, you're constantly looking for danger. You never stop just and stare in one place. Why? Well, because behind the bushes is the devil and his schemes. Right, with his fiery darts, ready to ambush you, to kidnap you, to rob you. Right, so we need to be wise and not naive. We can't be simpletons concerning our faith. You know, Jesus said, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves in Matthew 10 and verse 16. You know, ask God for wisdom so you can walk wisely, walk circumspectly. Right? James 1 and verse 5. Right? He said, I want you to ask me. Right? If you don't have the wisdom to walk wisely or circumspectly, ask God. Without doubting, of course. You know, a matter of fact, in James chapter 3, 13 through 17, right, he tells us that there's wisdom from above and there's wisdom from below. Right, the wisdom from above is from God, but there's a wisdom that looks right, but it's He says, my translation says it's demonic, right? It's of the world. Right? So be careful. But if you ask God with the right mindset, he'll give you the good wisdom from above. It'll help you to walk wisely. Now, Paul here is going to make application. He's going to make practical application of all of this. In the remainder of the chapter here, beginning in verse 8, well, 18 through 21 anyways. And before we read this, I want to read Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Very similar applications here. Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so what we see here, beginning in verse 18 of Ephesians, I want you to note this. He's going to make a contrast, right? And so we're going to walk in love, verse 2. We're going to walk as children of light, verse 8. We're going to walk circumspectly or wisely, verse 18. Right? We're redeeming the time. We're going to be wise. We're going to understand what the will of God is. He's going to make a contrast here. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Your translation might say it's a waste of time. Right? Don't be filled with things that are a waste of time. Right? You are saved from that. Don't you remember chapter 2 and verse 1? You are dead in your trespasses and your sins. He made you alive. Verse 2, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You don't have time for that anymore. Don't be filled with earthly, physical things that are a waste of time. Don't waste your time with things like drinking wine and getting drunk on that. But rather, he says, I want you to be filled with something else. Now, in the original language, this is an imperative, right? A command. And in the original language, in a similar way in the English, when you get an imperative that's followed by participles, mainly verbs that end in ing, those participles are telling you how to carry out the command. But be filled with the Spirit. That's the command right there at the end of verse 18. So here's Paul's application, our application this morning, and then we're going to offer the Lord's invitation. He gives us three things. Here's how you're filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with this other stuff. It's a waste of time, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, Paul, how am I filled with the Spirit? He says, let me tell you. Number one, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, praising God, right? Fill your life with praising God. Now, if you're reading this, and you're reading over there in Colossians 3, 16 and 17, and you say, yeah, these are the two passages, two main passages that we use to not use instrumental music in worship. Yes, in principle. But if you're relegating it to just that, you're missing out so much. Yes, he's telling us in worship the instrument to play. Look at the original language. We're to pluck the strings of the heart. Right? We're not going to let anything get between us and God in worship. But there's more to this. Right, my life has been filled with the things of God. Right, my cup is overflowing. I've been redeemed to have all blessings in Christ. Right, I'm his workmanship. All of these things, and my life is just overflowing with these blessings. Listen, you can't stop me from praising my God. It's coming out. Don't be filled with that wasteful stuff, but be filled with praising God, number one. Number two, giving thanks. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But mirrors Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Is your life filled with giving thanks to God? Right? Like I started when I first came up here earlier, God gives us what we need, not what we want. Right? Sometimes what we need is painful. But he's doing it because he loves us. He's chasing us. He's pruning us. He's guiding us. God gives us what we need, not what we want. Give God thanks in all things, so that whatever you do in word or deed, give thanks to God. Is your life filled with giving thanks to God? Singing number one, giving thanks number two. And then the third one here, it's a hard one, submitting. And I think that God knew that this was going to be the hardest one for us to do. Because, right, hey, singing and giving thanks, I'm down with that. Oh, submitting? All right, that's a tough one. Listen, Christianity is a religion of submission. We submit to God. We submit to Christ. We submit to baptism, obeying the gospel. We submit to an eldership. We submit to one another in love. Christianity is a religion of submission, not being weak. Like Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8, he humbled himself in order to lift us up. That takes absolute strength. And we, in our minds, in our culture, we equate submission with weakness. No, it's the opposite of that. As a matter of fact, I think that he knew we're going to have such a problem with this, he really develops this, right? He goes, all right, let's talk about submission a little bit more. Right, wives, submit to your own husbands, verse 22. Just as the church is subject to Christ, verse 24. Chapter 6, children, submit to your parents. Chapter 6, verse 5, bondservants, submit to your masters. Right, so he's going to develop a little bit more. Because I think this is the one that we struggle with. Walking correctly takes a submissive mindset. You know, and we might be thinking, let's finish with this right here. We might be thinking, you know, why do I need all of this? Again, because chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, the schemes of the devil, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. Rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in spiritual places. Right, that's what we're up against, right? That's the darkness we fight. So Paul ends compelling us to put on the whole armor of God. And in that, to be effective, we need to walk in love, walk as children of the light, and to walk circumspectly. This morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, you're going to have an opportunity to do so. And again, that invitation's open all the time. It doesn't have to be at the end of a lesson. But we do encourage you to put on Christ right now, to begin that journey of walking in love, walking as a child of light, walking wisely. You got to begin. You begin by being immersed into Christ with a responsive faith. That is what the Bible teaches. You cannot begin any other way. Right? As an adult, the age of understanding, there's responsibility in that. You have to respond in the manner that Christ says. You're seeking what's acceptable to God. Right? Not acceptable to what you think. Not acceptable to, you know, what someone told you. Some pastor told you or told your grandparents or parents. That's what they did. You don't want to be rude and go against what they did. Because what the scripture asks you to do is different than that. Right? You're seeking what's acceptable to God. If we can help you with that, sit down, open up the Word of God, let you read for yourself. Right? Let you read for yourself what it says. We'd love to help you with that. If you need to be reconciled to God or have any need spiritual we can help you with, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.